pray that you'd be in the middle of our service now. And we thank you, Jesus, and in the middle of our problems, because you said we won't be without problems in this world. Things will still come at us. We've got a secret weapon to give us peace. Bible promises he will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon you. So, Jesus, may our mind be on you. Maybe this next short while we focus on you and you alone. Help us leave our cares or worries or burdens or frets or guilts or mistakes or sins all with you. And instead, help us to receive goodness and grace and mercy and all forgiveness and all the good things that you promised us and you want us to have. We just open our hearts. And Jesus, help us to respond, reflect, or just give you the service in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So for the next little while here, we get to talk about our series. Our current series is Believe, and we have a tough task of thinking, acting, and being just like Jesus.
Wow.
So, man, that is a tall task, Edgar. I agree. Did you know that in order to be just like Jesus, I'll give you some hints for the past 16 weeks. So, what can we do today? We're going to pick a tough topic. We are going to, God taught me this just in the last probably 24 hours. When you go through a drive-thru, it's convenient, but you go through there sometimes because you don't have enough time. Or maybe you want some instant coffee. Most people would hate that. My daughter-in-law, Lindsay, would hate instant coffee. She likes Folgers, Black Silk. You know, they got one worse than that. It's called road tar. But anyway, Lindsay likes it. You know, Dora can just jump out the cup and run to you. She wants that. She would never drink instant coffee. Or how about instant Jell-O? Or how about spray tan? You know? Wow. Whew, she must have got that job half off. So anyway, and this is my favorite, Tim would agree with these. Remember in high school you didn't want to read the whole book, so you got Cliff Notes and read the whole book in 8 pages. So anyway, all of these things are shortcuts, instant things that because we lack patience. We don't want to read the whole book. We read the book flap cover. Will, you've done that, but we don't like it. You know how... I have opened up a book, and he says, quote the book 3 times. So you hunt through it and find those different things. Wow! And I've tried to make, I'm guilty. I've done that before. Make the teacher think you've read it. I don't do that much anymore because I'm working on my Master of Divinity degree at Liberty, and you don't want to lie about Master of Divinity degree. Did you read this book? Yeah, you can't lie about God's stuff. So patience. It takes a long time to read. It takes a long time to sit down and enjoy. I was blessed when I grew up. We had a bench on the side of the table in the Moser's dining room. And Tim will remember this. And us boys would sit on that bench. And we sit around and had a family dinner time. Do y'all remember that? It's also like the Waltons. Besides, God was preparing me for my later sports life. I sat on the bench. I was used to it by the time I played sports. A child, you sit down. Yes, sir. I know where that is. This is what a picture of patience looks like to me. You got your dog out there and your fishing pole and just relaxing. Looks like he's packing heat though, so I'm not sure whether that's... But wouldn't that be a serene picture right there? Why can't it be like that in our lives sometimes? Instead, we forget. Good things come to those who wait, you know. I want patience and I want it right now. That's more like us. The longer you have to wait for something, the more you will appreciate it when it finally arrives. That's a lot of truth right there. Remember, you say, but I got... No, don't take a shortcut. Don't take a shortcut. A man who was building a house kept building it. You know, he built houses and his boss... didn't pay him very well, but he was faithful. He didn't take shortcuts. He built the house. And finally, after years of that, he decided, my boss never rewards me that much. Next house he asked me to build, I'm just going to take shortcuts and I'll show him. So the boss, sure enough, comes up and says, appreciate all the work you've been doing the last couple of years. Got another house for you to build.
Great.
And so he assigned him that house to build, and he began to build it, and he thought, I'm going to. So he cut... did all the shortcuts he could. He would save money, he'd buy cheaper materials and do everything he could. And thanks. one of these days my boss is going to get in trouble. Finally got the house completed, and he told his boss, there, the house is done. His boss reached in the pocket, and he says, here, here's the keys. That's your house. I wanted to reward you.
Oh.
Still wish you'd have taken all the shortcuts, because you see, the longer you have to wait for something, the more you'll appreciate it later. If that guy knew he was building his own house, you think he'd have put a little bit more time and quality into it? Oh, absolutely. You never know whose house you're building in this life. Your life is a house, so to speak, and if I can build into it, I'll do that. I might have to sand the floors and help you put up a wall, but I want to build into it. That's my calling. And I can get to do that as a baseball coach. We used to pray a lot. I'll get... emotional. Kenneth was graduating and walked into where I was teaching typing. He said, Coach, I just want to tell you something. You know, you was always giving devotions before we started class. Yes, sir, I remember that. I want you to know in the seventh grade when you gave devotions one school morning. We'd do it Monday through Friday. He said, on one of those mornings, when you think that you're just giving devotions and start of the day is going on, he said, one of those mornings I asked Jesus into my heart. Got saved because of one of those devotions. Is that right, Kenneth? Because I remember that. My first thought was, Kenneth, why'd you wait 5 years to tell me? That was in about seventh grade. But Kenneth reminded me that day that what you think is maybe small potatoes is not somebody else. Well, that's just a short devotion. On a more funny side, I'd eat the salad bar down there at Roanoke Valley. I like to eat. And I was just, I felt stuffed. I just took the top of my pants right there, just unbuttoned out, I can breathe. Of all things, Scott Altice walked in one day and had his pants on like that. I later asked his dad, I thought, what's the deal? He said, well, Mr. Moser did it, so I thought I'd do it. I want to copy him. That taught me right there, be careful what you do. Good thing I didn't kick my shoes off, because people watch and they remember you, and little things takes years to build into what with this thing we call life. So what's patience to you? Well, patience is the act of just staying calm even in the midst of situations that have the potential to cause us to act rudely. None of us hopefully have done that. Ugly, angry, even ungodly to those around us. We should be slow to anger. We should endure patiently. And under the unavoidable stresses of life, unavoidable stresses, they will come. We will lose a ball game. We will miss an assignment. We will get pulled over by the police. We will have things go. So how are you going to act? Are you going to be slow to anger, endure patiently? Let's find out how some people handle stress. Chris, would you share this? This is Randy Frazee, and this is our Believe series, and I'm going to watch a few minutes of a Randy Frazee video, and listen to the story he's going to tell about this woman who was pulled over by police.
Suddenly, the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman hit the roof and the horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection with him. As she was still in a mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit the car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a cell. After a couple of hours, the officer approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting for her with her personal effects. He said, I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the Choose Life license plate holder, the What Would Jesus Do bumper sticker, the Follow Me to Sunday School bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car. There's something about patience and being like Jesus, being a Christian, that doesn't go together. When we read story after story in the Bible, we see how patient God was with people. When you think back to the story of your own life, I'm sure you discovered the amazing patience he's had with you. I know I have. And so, if we want to be like Jesus, we have to figure out this patient thing. So here's our key question for today. How does God provide the help I need to deal with stress? God has a vision for us to be patient, and it's doable in Jesus Christ. While patience might seem rather inconvenient to the person wound up real tight, in the end, being a patient person from the inside out leads to a better life. Listen to what the Bible says in our key verse for this week. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. This is one I really like to encourage you to memorize for those times when your patience is running thin. Have you ever witnessed somebody, not your toddler, but a grown man or woman, have a complete meltdown? Maybe they've missed the flight or were charged incorrectly at the supermarket. I've seen this on more than one occasion, and what I noticed is how they think they are so superior in the right situation. The rest of us are standing there thinking, my goodness, what a lunatic. That's what the wisdom writer meant when he says, displays folly. As we read scripture from beginning to end, we come to know how a wise person behaves. It goes something like this. Here's our key idea for today. I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. I like to say that I behave this way all the time and in every situation, but let's be honest here, friends. We all have days and instances where we mess up and are quick to get angry and lose our patience. And so let's study a little more about how to be slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. These two ideas, slow to anger and enduring patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life, come from two New Testament Greek words that are both translated patience. The first is the Greek word makrothymia. It is made up of two words, macro, which is the opposite of micro and means long. Thymia is our word anger in the English. When you put the two words together, it carries the idea of taking a long time to burn up with anger. Imagine being in an irritating situation and someone sticks a spiritual thermometer in your mouth to monitor how long it takes your temperature to rise, that is, for you to lose your cool. A year later, you're in the same situation. Would that thermometer show it takes longer to overheat than the previous year? If so, you're growing in patience. Growing in patience means taking longer and longer to succumb to frustration and agitation. You're slow to anger. The second New Testament word for patience is also a compound word. The word in Greek is hypomone. Hypo means under, and mone means to remain. This virtue encourages us to learn how to remain under the unavoidable pressures of life. It is often translated perseverance. We can picture this pressure as a huge, heavy bag we carry on our back. To be patient means that we keep on carrying the heavy bag on our back, never bending to its pressure. Certainly, there are those self-imposed pressures we should avoid altogether. Overcommitting to our to-do list, overextending our resources, putting ourselves in compromising situations. Then there are those situations outside of our control, illnesses. A spouse who goes through a dark or difficult season, a child who is born with a severe birth defect, accidents that take the life of a loved one. In these situations, we might be able to relieve our pressure by doing the wrong thing, becoming addicted to prescription drugs to ease the pain, getting a divorce, seeking revenge. God encourages us to remain under the pressure of this situation because it's the right thing to do. God can give us the resources and the motivation to slowly work toward change in difficult circumstances. The bottom line is, while escape may seem like the quickest solution, God wants to offer the best solution for everyone inside of the unavoidable circumstances. If we are to be directed out, then He can be the one who says so. Together, microthymia and hypomenae form a powerful definition for biblical patience. Say it with me again. I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressure of life. As we thumb through the pages of Scripture, we find that David provides an inspiring example for us.
All right. Did you take a Bible and we're going to pick up a little bit? Who's David? David was the king. I can quickly tell you something about what he did, and then I'm going to give you some other verses. But James is coming around. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And I'm going to turn to some scripture that is very familiar. Would you look at Psalms 23? The 23rd Psalm. I'll do things a little bit different. Randy was going to go in. Randy Fraz, he talks about David being chased by Saul. And Saul being the kind of person that wants to kill David because he was jealous. And David was a psalmist. He read a lot of the Psalms. He was also a shepherd boy. And when he had opportunity to become king, Jesse had, you know, seven sons, and he was getting ready to be tapped by the prophet that was showing up there, and none of Jesse's sons appeared to be king material. And then suddenly he said, "You have any other sons?" He said, "Oh yeah, I got the run of the family." He didn't really say it that way, but "I've got one keeping the sheep outside. Who would want to bother with him?" He said, "Go get him." And David come in from keeping the sheep, and the next thing you know, Samuel said, "This is the one." So the least likely candidate is the one that was picked. I think if you'd have told everybody in my high school, I joined the Future Teachers of America. Did they even have Future Teachers Club Day anymore? Do they have Club Day? I joined FTA, Future Teachers of America. I joined that just to get out of class. I had no intent of being a teacher. I just wanted to skip class. On Club Day, you get to go out. So if you'd have told my friends in high school that if I was going to be a teacher, they'd have fell over. If you'd have told them I was going to be a preacher, we'd all fell over. And yet here I am. God's grace is good. Maybe I was the least likely to become who I am today, but God's grace is good. David was probably the least likely to become who he was. Psalms 23. He learned to say things like this: "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want." I sort of look at that. I don't want anything. I'm not in a big hurry. I'm going to be patient. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Get the idea that he's just relaxing. "He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And I can just hear a voice in the crowd saying, "Yeah, but what about those scary days? How about when the shadows come out? How about your PSA being higher than 4.0 and somebody, oh, you might have cancer. Wait a minute now, before you throw us into high gear of worry and fretfulness. Look at verse 4. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Shadows can make us feel scared sometimes. He says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." You're not going to rob my joy, Satan. "For you," he looks at God, says, "for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I go back to a verse right there. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." When Saul was trying to hunt David down, David and his mighty men, they snuck in pretty close, and the Bible says that Saul went into a cave Most likely, if you read the NIV, went into the cave to relieve himself. He's going to the bathroom. Well, if he's in there and David's mighty men, he might as well have a group of Navy SEALs, Army Rangers. They snuck into it, and the men's like, what do they want to do? Can we kill him? Easy, stand down. David says, no, I can't kill him. He's God's anointed. Well, go over and do something. Sort of got talked into it. He later felt bad. He went over and cut a piece of Saul's robe off. To show you, I was this close. I could have what? I could have killed you. See, wait, Saul goes out and he waves and says, hey, Saul, I got this in my hand. I was that close to you. And it says, oh, Saul felt bad. So then he says, okay, come on back. And he forgave David, or really, he needed forgiveness. A few weeks later, Saul went right back to what he was. He was a nutcase. And, you know, he's a guy through a spear in the wall, tried to kill his own son, Jonathan, so he's losing it. He went for advice from the witch of Endor and tried to have a seance and conjure up some dead people. And by the way, the person he wanted to try to talk to when was Samuel. You know the guy that anointed David? Yeah, he tried to talk to Samuel. When you don't seek advice from a medium. You don't seek advice from Ouija boards or horoscopes. Or that. How about talking to the man of God? But anyway, Saul was just losing it. Later, David snuck upon him again, and he had his jug right there, had his spear, had his crown up there, he went to sleep. David snuck up and stole the jug and the spear and again say, look, I was this close to you. I could have killed you. David is showing patience. He could be king, but well, why don't he just go ahead and kill Saul? He will be. He's going to be patient because he's waiting on God's timing. You just now learned a lot right there in that statement. That's what me and you have to do. Well, I want this right now. You don't run the show, I do. If God is the coach, I identify this with so well, and I'm standing right here behind him, God will let me know when I need to go in the game, and he'll tell me what I need to do. If you're waiting on God, you're in a great shape. Can you picture yourself in this 23rd Psalm? I am waiting by still waters. I'm waiting in the green, lush grass. I am good. I'm fine. Why do we feel like life's in a race sometimes? So slow down a little bit, you know. The Andy Griffith episode I love. What's your hurry? And the visiting preacher comes in and he's just like, slow down, slow down. Good advice. Saul says this, I forgive you, or please forget, we're going to be friends. And Saul eventually, he died in battle, but David did not take his life. Who allowed Saul to die in battle? Yes, God, you know, if you want to look at it. So God's plan finally worked out. David patiently waited. God did that. And then David stepped in and became king at his time, at God's time. And that's what I need to do. I need to wait on God. You would just soon, hey, can I do this? Can I, God? No. Let me do it in my time. So Psalm 23. Now, a couple thoughts about patience. Then. Say, boy, this is convicting. Hey, I'm right there with you. Anybody ever said you had a short fuse? Don't raise your hand. You got a short fuse? Did you hear what Randy Frazee said a minute ago? When people act crazy, we think, my, the guy's acting like, what word did he use? A lunatic. I've coached before, and y'all would, less hints. Remember the guy that made the 89-foot throw at Tech, threw it in from the baseline to the other one a long time ago? I coached against Roman Catholic, wasn't that where he was? Roman Catholic, and he was the coach of the JV team. I was a coach of ours. He had a couple technicals. He got upset, obviously not patient. Got one more technical, and the referee went over. One more, and I'll throw you out of here. I was just, okay, we're good. I'm just staying calm. But I thought to myself, here's a guy who's a much better player in college. I was blessed enough to at least play some college basketball, but I was nowhere near a Virginia Tech caliber. But here's this guy, and I thought, what Randy called him? You are crazy. It's a JV game. Life will go on. It's okay. And he gets thrown out of the game practically, and they're, referee's like, one more word. Has your mom ever said that to you? No. Say another word. Say another word. You become part of this floor. You know, it's like, I'm a piece of laminate. No, it's like, no, you don't. You know, shut your mouth right here. Stop it. Don't say another word. If mom would say it, she'd say, I've had it up to here. It's enough. I'm a patient person, but you're about to push all the buttons. Some people start off that way. I think they're about ready to push their own button. I mean, they got a short fuse. How about this? You might say, I'm about ready to bowl over. I've just had it right here. And if you can stay calm in that, some more thoughts on this. Seeing the end result helps me to be patient. Seeing the end result, even though you may be far from the end. David saw the end result. One day I will be king. I do not have to kill Saul to speed up that process. God will put me there in His own time. Things will happen in God's own time. God has not forgotten you. He created the end of the world from the world beginning. He will see us to the end of the world. God knows. Quit being, God must have forgotten me. All right, Chris, let me go back.
Patience, patience.
Patience, patience. I got a great story coming up. That's Chris that messed up there. Chris, I was just... Chris, I got blame on somebody. How about this? Some more thoughts on patience. Finding joy in patiently waiting because you know that one day you'll be rewarded. It's like, this is going to pay off. Knowing we imitate God when we are patient. Some will take those things, and how about this? Seeing the end result, even though you may be far from the end. Do y'all remember in Genesis 39, a young man named Joseph? Benjamin, how old are you right now? You're 17. Joseph, 17. He was taken into prison. He got out when he was 34.
Wow.
So Benjamin goes into prison today, and at 34 we let him out. How would that be? I mean, nobody's going to spend that much time. Will, you probably will, for you probably be in college that long. Anyway, no, I just can't. Now, Will's a smart guy, so I'm just... But can y'all imagine going in at that age right there and staying for 17? So half his life has been in jail. And yet the Bible says, let's check it out in Psalm in Genesis 39, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. I haven't forgot you. He rose to what do you call those prisoners that are sort of about friends with the guards and they're running the show? They're sort of like, what, trustees? Yeah, he's a top guy. He arose to fame in prison. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So Joe, zippity-doo, and he's in prison. I come out Friday, you know, God gives me good days. I'm sitting in there telling stories like I do in here, and I'm in driver's ed class. And I come out at the end of the day, and people are like, why? How can you whistle? Well, you just put your lip up. You're like, oh. No, I mean, why do you whistle? Because God's good. All the time, all the time. Find joy. How can you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked me. See, Jesus is the opportunity with. I don't want to gripe. Be patient. Joseph was patient. 17 years later, he comes out of prison. Well, did God reward him? What do you think? Second in command, only to Pharaoh. It'd be like Vice President of the United States. He's like the prince above the king. I mean, he's running the show. And because of that, his brothers were reunited. All the family gets back together. All because of patience. How could he have messed that up? He could have threw a fit and somebody could have killed him because he didn't. Finding joy in patiently waiting because you know that one day you'll be rewarded. Chris, you have got to quit doing that, I'm telling you. In another section of Scripture in Genesis, a man named Jacob wants to get married, and the dad makes him work for his bride. And Genesis 29, so Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seem like only a few days to him because of his love for her. 7 years. And they seem like, you think that's a patient man? Oh, yeah. Out there working in the field? 7 years. Oh, they seem just like, so how can you do that? Well, God said this. He said, when we get to be with Him, a day will be like a 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a day. We just want to do stuff now. Now, we would have never made it. God says, slow down. And finally, how about this? It's the ultimate example of patience. Some of you might be here today and not know Jesus as Savior. I pray for you. I want you to accept Him. The Bible says in Hebrews, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Well, should I put it off? I wouldn't want to go another day without enjoying Jesus in my heart. Well, how do you do that? I admit I'm ABC. I admit I'm a sinner. Please, Jesus, I am wrong. Don't offer excuses. I'm not as bad as Joe. Quit doing that. Maggie's like, no, I am wrong, period. I admit I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins, was buried, rose again the third day. I serve a risen Savior. I'm going to commit myself to Him. Jesus, I confess my sins. I commit myself to You. Would You forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and be my Savior? How long does it take with that instant? Blink your eyes. 11/100ths of a second. That's how long it took. Christ enters me. He gives me peace and joy. And He says, oh, thank You, God, for waiting. Well, that's what He does. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. God's not forgotten you. As some understand slowness. Instead, He is what? He's patient with you. He's very patient with you. How about this? This is real convicting. What if God treated you like you treated other people? Remember the guy built a house and He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's not slow coming back, the second coming here. Jesus is saying, please, I'm imploring you, I beg you, get saved. Can you imagine you being the last person as soon as you say, Jesus, forgive me. Please come into my heart and be my Savior. Boom. Clouds part, there's Jesus. Can you imagine? I don't know who that last person is that's going to get saved. Just think. You'd probably feel like, I barely made it in. I don't know. So what would you say is the absence or the opposite of patience? I would think anger, loss of control, like the woman in their video. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, Galatians 5 says. James says this, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. I've heard it said we got 2 ears, 1 mouth. Use those in that proportion. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. How many of us have ever said, don't raise your hand, how many of us have ever said something, I wish I had those words back. Slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible. The Greek word used here for patience is a descriptive one. It figuratively means taking a long time to boil. Love is patient. Love means it takes a long time to boil. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Well, 2 years ago, when you, wow, and you say you love me, forget that. I mean, if somebody come up to you, listen, I'm really sorry about last week. What are you talking about? Hey, that's all behind us. That's what God does to me. We are our worst enemies sometimes. You ever say, God, I'm so sorry. Last month I messed up. God says, I forgive you that. It's gone. Quit bringing it up. Okay. 2 days ago, my heart was turned to ash. I shared this a little bit last week. This young man wrote that his heart was just crushed. Who was this man? He was a pitcher of the Montgomery Biscuits who lost his family. Now, does he sound like he's vengeful? Watch this. 2 days ago, my heart was turned to ash. My life as I knew it is destroyed. Bivens wrote, the pain my family and I feel is unbearable and cannot be put into words. I shake and tremble at the thought of our future without them. He then shared poignant tributes to each of his lost loved ones before writing one to his surviving father-in-law. Skip, you are a wonderful father and grandfather. We will get through this together. We will not let the devil win. When you show anger and lack self-control, the devil goes, yeah, act like a jerk. Act like a lunatic. Don't do that. We will not let the devil win. It then became even more clear about important Bevan's faith is to him. Thank you, God, for giving me the most wonderful family in the world. I've been blessed beyond belief. After thanking the Biscuits and Ray's organizations for their support and everyone who has reached out in this time of sorrow, Bevan's concluded, I'm comforted by all the messages and well wishes. I'm not sure what is next for me, but I do know God has a plan, even though I can't see it. So that young man right there, Blake, who's a pitcher for the Montgomery Biscuits. I guess I saw him play when I was down there visiting Andy. We were sitting over on the sideline, and he lost all these in one day. His brother-in-law, who just snapped, killed his mom, killed his sister, and killed his nephew. And Blake's getting ready to play on a game, and they go and tell him, you've lost everything. If he would not have been a Christian, I'd have time looking at that. That's his little boy. So he says, we're going to be all right. How on earth can you say that? How on earth could you be patient? Because the Bible says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. And he says, God will take care of me. The devil is not going to win. And we'll be all right. We'll get through this. He's also got a great reassuring promise. One day he'll do what? He'll see his family again. What a strong faith. What a patient man. I bet you he's even got friends that say, you need to go up. No, wait, no. Like King David, why don't you go over and kill Saul? God will take care of Saul. I had such a wise mama. I would get aggravated sometimes when she'd reach over and pat me on. She said, God will take care of those people. Okay, if you said it, that's good. And I've seen God do that. God will take care of you, Blake. And God will take care of your family. They're with him now. Chris, can we make some application here before we pray? Chris is going to show you how we can apply some of the things today. I like practical application. I don't know if you're like me. Tell me what I can do with this message. Okay, here's how we can do with this message. Here's what you can do. Just personal, practical application. Just take a minute or two and we'll put this to wrap.
As you learn to develop the virtue of patience in your life, I'd like you to consider these three practical principles to guide your journey. Number one, trust God's timing, His ways, and His outcomes. This is what David did, and in the end, he received the maximum blessing. Number two, don't let unimportant stuff bother you so much. The money changers who were defiling God's temple rightfully bugged Jesus. His temperature got pretty high, and he turned over the tables. But the little stuff didn't ruffle Jesus' feathers. Save your emotions for the stuff that matters, and let the little stuff just roll off you like water off a duck's back. And number three, offer the patience today that you would like to receive tomorrow. There was a middle-aged man who took in his aging mother. He was married and had three children. They would gather for dinner each night, everyone sitting around the table. Every night, his feeble mother would do something that would irritate the heck out of him. She would spill drink, drop the food on the floor, let go of a plate of food as it was being passed. One night, the man lost his patience and yelled at his mom and told her from now on, she would sit at the separate table and eat by herself. Sure enough, the next night, he set up a separate card table and sat his mother and her food to dine all by herself. His young son asked, Daddy, are you putting Grandma at her own table because she keeps spilling things, dropping food on the floor, and breaking plates? Why, yes, son. Why are you asking? The son replied, I just wanted to know how we're supposed to treat you when you get older and come to live with us. Aww. Offer the patience today you would like to receive tomorrow. How amazingly great our lives would be if we truly became more patient people. Well, guess what? In Christ, it can be so. In the meantime, maybe we need to peel a few Christian bumper stickers off our cars.
Pray with me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for some reminders right there of what I need to practice and what my church friends right here today, we can all practice. Lord, I've heard it said we can count the 10 or we can just pause. We can think before we speak. But Jesus, I like this. I want to rely on you. And as corny as it sounds in today's world, what would Jesus do? Lord, I can find where you cleared the temple. You were still in control of that. But that's the only time I can picture you really showing us that. The side that we display quite often. So, Lord, you are a man under control. I pray that we can be more like you in that respect especially. Help us to be patient with others. Jesus, I thank you for today's message. It drives home the point. Love is patient. If we love somebody, help us to be more patient with them. Help us to know that in due time, your will work out. We don't have to step in and interrupt it. You've got a perfect plan for it. Lord, help us to be right quiet as you work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.